It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Penn State has named its second permanent head football coach since the firing of Joe Paterno in 2011. He is James Franklin, who succeeds Bill O'Brien, who departed for the NFL's Houston Texans. Franklin had been the head coach at Vanderbilt, a school that saw its own scandal on his watch. So is he the right man for the job? We're going to put that question to our sports guy, Bob Dvorak, sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's author of the book Game Over about the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State, and he has a video blog called Sportsnet. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and Jane Adair said to say hi.
Oh, good, yes. Same back at you.
What is your reaction to the choice of James Franklin to be the new head coach at Penn State?
Well, Penn State got the man it wanted. It did a search, and they decided that James Franklin was the man that they wanted to be at the helm. And James Franklin, from what I've read, being a Pennsylvania native, saw Penn State as his dream job. So, in that sense, both sides got what they wanted.
Now, as I alluded to in the introduction, Mr. Franklin comes from a team affected by a sexual assault scandal. Last year, four Vanderbilt players were charged with raping a woman. A fifth was charged with covering up the rape and later pled guilty. All five were dismissed from the team by Mr. Franklin, who has been cleared of any wrongdoing. But does Mr. Franklin come into Penn State with a cloud already hanging over him, Bob?
Well, I think anybody that comes into Penn State with that kind of, if you want to call it baggage, yeah, that people are going to look at that. If you Google James Franklin's name, that's one of the first stories that pops up. So, even though he has been cleared, it did happen. He said he addressed it promptly, no attempt at cover-up. He was not involved, and they want to move on. So, but given the charged atmosphere at Penn State and everything else, there are people who are going to raise that issue and be concerned about it.
Well, and there's a woman named Michelle Rodino Colasino, a Penn State communications professor, who started a petition last week calling on the Penn State Board of Trustees and the Penn State Football Search Committee not to hire Franklin. So could this create a bad public perception for Penn State, when you have people on campus who say, this is not the right guy?
It can, and I have seen some reaction that would support that, that some people are concerned. However, in these situations, Paul, it's like, well, this is all new and they're just starting. If he succeeds, I think this all goes away. If they start to win football games and there aren't any more issues that come up.
For his part, Mr. Franklin says, as you pointed out, Bob, that he was upfront and honest about the situation at Vanderbilt. Did his handling of it factor into his getting the Penn State job, that he is someone that if something, God forbid, like the Sandusky scandal ever happens again at Penn State, that he is going to be upfront and proactive right from the start?
Yes, I believe so, because the people on the search committee had to do their due diligence, and they know exactly. These aren't unintelligent people. They're aware of all these things too. So I think that did factor into it and was part of the decision making process.
We are talking with our sports guy, Bob Dvorak. He's sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also author of the book Game Over about the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State. On his way out the door, Bill O'Brien was critical of the atmosphere at Penn State. He said that he was being second-guessed by the Paterno supporters on campus. It really prevented him from fully being able to be effective on the job or from enjoying the job as much as he might have liked. Mr. Franklin is from Pennsylvania. He worked for Joe Paterno. Does that hurt him or help him in this job, considering especially that there is a faction of people at Penn State who are still loyal Paterno supporters?
Whether it hurts or helps, I think remains to be seen. Nobody knows until they're in the position what friction might arise from a certain faction. But I think every big time college program has its supporters and alumni associations. Everybody wants to put their input in. So that will be one of the, say, pressures of the job that Mr. Franklin is going to have to deal with as things move forward.
And do you see him staying there and having a long-term successful career at Penn State? Because obviously Joe Paterno was there for a long time. Mr. Franklin is just the third coach in over a half a century.
Right. And, I think the way that college football programs are set up, it's almost impossible for somebody to remain on a job for 40, 50 years anymore. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. Don't forget that Mr. Franklin was also interviewed by some pro teams, or feelers were made by some professional teams as to his availability to coach this time around. If he succeeds, with the coaching carousel being what it is, when vacancies pop up and people looking for coaches, they look for the winners. They look for people who help them succeed. You can say now that I intend to stay for a long time, but I think Bill O'Brien said the same thing. But when opportunity came up, he went the other way.
Right, and now these recruits, some of whom are already committing to Franklin, were kind of left in the lurch because he said, "You stay at Penn State, I'll be here. Everything's going to be fine." Now he leaves. Is that just the nature of college sports, big time college sports these days?
Paul, it's a business. Yes, you can say this is what commit to me. Let's stay with the program. Let's rebuild it, and then you're out the door in 2 years. But don't forget, I've heard the criticism of Bill O'Brien. But don't forget, James Franklin had a contract at Vanderbilt, too. So, he was wooed from his job up to Penn State, and I understand two of the recruits that he had at Vanderbilt are coming to Penn State. So, there's the question of loyalty in big-time sports programs. I think that's a passé concept.
I want to get on to some other topics. A big story over the weekend, an arbitrator has cut the Yankees' Alex Rodriguez's drug suspension to 162 games from 211 relating to a performance-enhancing drug scandal. But A-Rod is out for all of the next season. This hasn't happened to any of the players who've been linked to any kind of steroid use. Will that ultimately deter baseball players from taking drugs?
Oh, it might deter them. Does it solve the problem and get rid of it? No. I think that this stuff is so entrenched that people are always going to look for an edge. A-Rod never did have a negative drug test.
Positive drug test, you mean?
Positive drug test. This is all based on the testimony of the guy who was providing him the substances and, from his own accounts, injecting him. So, it could serve as a deterrent, but I don't think it gets rid of anything.
It made for a riveting interview on 60 Minutes last night. One more thing I wanted to hit with you. Last year, we've discussed this, Jason Collins became the NBA's first openly gay active player. He is out of a job, at least for the time being. No other team has signed him. And now we have Vikings punter Chris Cluey, who spoke out in favor of gay rights when he played in the NFL, also out of a job. Is it coincidence, or is there something else at work here?
Well, there is an open question about that, and it's being pursued at higher levels. I know the Vikings themselves have asked the help of the Supreme Court justice in Minnesota to see whether there's anything to this. The Vikings' position was, we made a football decision and we went with a different player and we cut Cluey. So, and it had nothing to do with his stance, but yet, Mr. Cluey is pursuing his end of it that this did have something to do with his termination. So that's in the hands of an arbiter right now, and in hands of a higher authority. You could look at it in both ways, I'm sure, and, make up your own mind. People in sports get cut, get released, their careers are over all the time.
Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Check out his video blog called Sportsnet. Bob, as always, pleasure visiting with you. Thank you.
So much to talk about, Paul. Thank you.
Yes, it never goes away, does it?
No.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow, our guest will be the new director of the Allegheny County Health Department, Karen Hacker. She'll be live in studio with us. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.